Thank you. You can have a seat. Hey, if you're a visitor, my name is Jeff Strucker. I'm the lead pastor here at Calvary. And the way that I typically lead our church in many facets, but primarily I lead through teaching and through vision. For the last 16 or 18 months or so, we've been studying through the book of Luke. Today we're going to take a one-week break from the book of Luke. Each year around the beginning of the year, we try to describe the state of the church. Where has Calvary been? Where is Calvary now? And where is Calvary headed? And we believe this is something that everybody that calls Calvary your church home needs to know. Who are we? What makes us unique? And where are we headed in the future? If you look at that worship guide, we've got a ton of ground to cover today. So I want you to just go ahead and fasten your seatbelts right now because this is going to be breakneck. Let's take a look right now at where we've been in the past. Let me give you 108 years of church history in 60 seconds or less. July 4th, 1908, 13 members of Rose Hill Baptist Church, which came from five families, set out to do some ministry to a growing part of our city. Those five families are the Weekly, Gilbert, Tidd, Smith, and Brogdon families. Those five families started meeting together in the home of Mr. J.J. Gilbert. There was two mills in our town in 1908, the Swift Mill and the Young Mill, and these two mills were huge employers in our community, and these folks made the courageous decision, we want to influence the people that are coming to work in this part of town in those mills. So they made the courageous decision to leave their home church, Rose Hill Baptist Church, and to start a new church. If you're not from the Chattahoochee Valley, you would call that new church Jordan City Baptist Church. But if you're from around here, we say Jordan City Baptist Church. 1908, Jordan City Baptist Church was formed in the home of Mr. J.J. Gilbert. The city continued to change and our church changed. By 1917, our church had moved to a different location and had changed our name to Talbotton Avenue Baptist Church. City continued to grow and change, the church continued to grow and change. In 1925, the church moved to downtown Columbus, to 33rd Street, and changed the name once again to Calvary Baptist Church. And we stayed in downtown Columbus for about 50 years before we moved out here to this piece of land. Here's what I want you to see over those 108 years. As the community changed, our church changed in an effort to reach a changing community. Our church looked different. And as the Chattahoochee Valley continues to change, by God's grace, Calvary Baptist Church will continue to change. Let me give you a couple of statistics about last year. Last year, our church grew in membership, added additional 56 members over the course of last year. Here's what's most important about that stat of 56 members. 25 of those 56 folks joined our church by baptism, which is a huge increase in baptism over the last couple of years. So go on, Calvary. Give yourself a big hand for that one. That's pretty awesome. About 44 people left our church last year. Unfortunately, 8 of them passed away, and every time holidays roll around, we'll miss those folks that are no longer with us. But if you were to look around the room, one of the subtle things you may not have noticed is that our average worship attendance decreased last year by about 80 people from what it was in 2015. Now, numbers are important. They really are. But they don't tell the whole story. If you were to ask the question, what does it really take for a church to impact a community? That's a much harder question to answer. Numbers answer some of that question, but they don't answer the whole question. An even tougher question to answer is, what does it take for a church to make an impact for the kingdom of God? And we boldly teach around here that the number one responsibility a church has is to fulfill the Great Commission. This is Jesus' last words to his church before he leaves planet Earth. If you're new to church and you don't know what the Great Commission is, it's found in Matthew chapter 28. It's the last couple of verses in the book of Matthew. When we put on that wall out there on the way out the door, our mission as a church is to complete or to fulfill the Great Commission. This is what we're talking about. Here's Jesus' last instructions to his church. Then Jesus came near and he said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." The command on the screens in front of you is to make disciples. You do that as a church by going, you do that as a church by baptizing, and you do that as a church by teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And by the way, keep this in mind, church, you're not on your own. Jesus said, "Remember, I am with you even to the end of the age." Here's what I'm trying to say. Our church, the statistics, the numbers, they don't tell the whole story. You see, if a church is really serious about the Great Commission, it's not just seating capacity that matters, it's sending capacity that matters. So let me give you something that I think is extremely important about the last year at Calvary Baptist Church. Let's take a look at the people that are no longer here because God infected them with the desire to see more people come to know King Jesus. And they've decided to courageously follow the Holy Spirit wherever the Holy Spirit leads them. Guys like Trenton, who's a member of our church, who is currently on the mission field serving in Honduras right now. Or like Hannah Mae, who leaves in just a couple of days. Her and Shim are both on their way to Brazil and will spend several weeks in Brazil trying to influence people for King Jesus while they're down there. You probably already know that Calvary Baptist Church has a family of career missionaries who are serving on the field, have been for many years in Asia. But did you know that God has started working in their daughter's life? And right now, God is preparing her. In about a week and a half, she'll leave for Mexico and will probably spend about half of a year in Mexico trying to discover if God is calling her to follow her family on the mission field. You're already aware that God has called the Townsend family, look at this beautiful family, to get up and to sell it all and to go follow King Jesus to the dangerous underground church in Asia. And we're praying for that family right now. God's called some of our own away. He's called Ricky Smith to no longer lead our school, but now to become a full-time missionary to the Southern Baptist churches here in the state of Georgia. And if you flip over to the back of that worship guide, you will see that our church, our school, has already called a replacement to him. His name is Jim Cohn, and Jim is currently finishing a couple of things in his former hometown and hopefully will be here with our church on Sunday in the next couple of weeks. And I'm also proud to say that God has called some of our folks away to other churches in the Chattahoochee Valley, like the Prudent family, who are right now serving at Benning Hills Baptist Church. And we are thrilled about what God is doing through our church all over the city, all over the state of Georgia, and all over the world. The truth is, Calvary Baptist Church is serious about the Great Commission and trying to finish the Great Commission in our lifetime. That's why we keep going to our next door neighbors. That's why we keep talking to people about King Jesus until there's nobody else to talk to. And as God brings new people to our community and they go somewhere else around the world, we'll keep telling people about Jesus until there's nobody else to tell. Here's one of my prayers. It's one of my goals for the reputation of Calvary Baptist Church in the Chattahoochee Valley. One of my goals is that a woman in another church would say to her son or her daughter-in-law, "Please don't go to Calvary. Because I'm certain if you go to Calvary Baptist Church, those people are crazy and the Holy Spirit's going to call you to the mission field and you'll move away and I'll never see my grandbaby again. Whatever you do, don't go to Calvary Baptist Church." That's one of my prayers for our reputation in the Chattahoochee Valley. People will say, "Those folks are serious about the Great Commission." You can see it in the people that are leaving, not just the folks that are showing up. That's where Calvary's been over the last year, and I hope you're as encouraged as I am. But let's take a look at where we are right now. The elders and I have been talking about this for a number of months. Calvary is in an honest attempt to try to raise up men who will be prepared and equipped to go take over pulpits of other churches in our community. We're calling it a pastoral residency program. We're not there yet. We're not even close to being there yet, But the goal in this pastoral residency program is to fulfill what 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us we should be doing. Here's how it's worded in the Bible. And notice the leadership that's being transferred in this passage of Scripture. This is written by the greatest Christian missionary of all times, the great Apostle Paul. And here's what it says. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. And follow along with me. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Check this out. Now teach those truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others as well. In these two verses, you've got four generations of leadership. Paul passing leadership on to Timothy. Timothy, you pass this leadership on to other people. And Timothy, you make sure that those other people pass this leadership responsibility on to others. And pretty soon, everybody around you, Timothy, has had a chance to hear about King Jesus. Every church around you has great qualified pastors to lead them. You see, those four generations of leadership happened in one lifetime in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And right now, God is raising up men in our church. Our church has been through, is walking them through the ordination process, who, God willing, will one day be in full-time or in part-time gospel ministry. And I hope it would be here in the Chattahoochee Valley. There's some really encouraging things that are happening right now. And there are some things that are both strengths and at the same time challenges for Calvary. The first is our staff. We have an exceptionally talented staff of pastors and administrators who work in our church. But if you were around here about a year ago, you knew that we were a much larger staff than we are today. In fact, a year ago, we had three staff members that are no longer employed here. We had a discipleship pastor, a young adult pastor, and a music pastor. As many of you know, we're right now in the process of interviewing a candidate for the music pastor position, but the truth is, we've got some holes that needed to be filled. And I'll just tell you right now, chances are we're not going to replace the discipleship pastor, at least not yet, not until we're in a position where we can. And we're not going to replace the young adults pastor. What we'll probably start doing is immediately looking for an executive pastor who can help with some executive level leadership here in our church. It's both an asset and a liability where our staff is, and we have some work to do in that area. And our giving last year was amazing what our church did with the money. You may not know this, but last year our church gave away a tithe, 10% of every penny that you put in an offering plate. If you didn't tell us what to do with that money, we gave 10% of it away. We gave 10% of it away to pay for more than 9,430 missionaries on the field full-time here in Georgia, around North America, or around the world. This doesn't include the money that we gave in a separate check to the Lottie Moon offering to help fund missionaries around the world. This doesn't include the check that our church gave to the Annie Armstrong offering to help pay missionaries who were on the field in North America. Doesn't include the money that we're giving away to the Hope Givers Christmas offering. Doesn't include the money that we give as a church to the ministries on this campus. What we're doing right now with the money is nothing short of miraculous. And it's even more staggering when you consider that this year, in 2016, last year, the giving in our church was down by almost $80,000. And yet we gave generously to the ministries of this campus, one of which, our elder care ministries, is really struggling financially. And our church has had to step in and to help bail them out a little bit. The ministries in this city, in this state, and around the world. And I just want to tell you, church, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for the way that you're giving and your passion to make people become disciples of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not in a position that you have been able to give in the past. Maybe you're not in a position where you can give right now. If you're struggling financially, I want to give you a piece of advice. Would you please make the decision to start David Pittman's Financial Peace University class? It begins this week. And listen to Dave Ramsey teach about how to get your finances under control, how to get out from underneath debt, and how to start to give and to save and to spend like God's word teaches us we should be giving, saving, or spending. It's never been more important to our church than it is now. Look, consider everything else that I've said up to this point just introduction to the rest of this sermon. That's where we've been. This is where we are. Now let me tell you where we're headed in 2017. In 2017, our goal is to take part in the global glory of Jesus Christ until every person on the planet hears about our great Savior, until there's no one else left to tell. Literally, our plan, our goal as a church is to finish the mission of God in our lifetime. Here's what we're going to do over the next year. Here's a little bit of what we're doing. One of them is that we're creating space. You may not be aware of this, but late last year, our school just purchased 6.7 acres of land and 14,000 square feet of office space because they were in desperate need of more space. I've been now through an almost one-year process of trying to figure out a strategic vision for our campus. The strategic vision is answering the question, what does this campus look like 20 years from now? And I've assembled a team of experts and spent a lot of personal time and a lot of money on this question. And here's what everyone universally agrees. There's no way the school alone, can continue to do what it's doing on this campus without a whole lot more land. In fact, if the school took over all of the church space today and kept it exclusively for school space, it still wouldn't be enough land to do what they're currently doing, let alone what they could be doing 20 years from now. So the bottom line is we have to find a way to create a lot more space. Most of you saw when you drove in, we began the process of replacing the signage on our campus, something that you gave generously to last year. The footings are being poured right now. The foundations will start to go up, and I hope in the next 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to see the signage go up on this campus. The signage, don't forget, is not for us that know this place. It's for the visitor who shows up the first time. And so like everything else around here, as our city changes and our church has to change to adapt to it, which means some of those existing signs, this is including that steeple out there, some of them are going to change, some of them are going to go away. We have no choice but to change the signage to help people understand who we are and what we do. Buildings are important. The stuff that you see around here is very important and very valuable. But frankly, it doesn't last. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back again, and nothing that you see around here will remain. But the one thing that carries with us into eternity is relationships, which is why next year or this coming year, we spend a lot of time preparing people in Calvary, preparing people to minister to Calvary, preparing people from Calvary to minister to others. Because the truth is, who Calvary is becoming determines where Calvary is going. I mentioned just a second ago, there are three men right now who are going through the process of ordination into the full-time or part-time gospel ministry. You can be praying for those men. We have great excitement and anticipation for the ministries that God will give them in the future. But what we're doing, it's important, but not nearly as important as who we're becoming as a church. So let me give you a little bit of information about who we are becoming as a church. Our number one objective, our number one responsibility as individual followers of Jesus Christ is to love God with everything that we've got, to grow deeper with Christ in 2017. By the way, I'm not making this up. This is what Scripture teaches us. There's a discussion that Jesus has between him and some religious leaders about the law. Now, this is a test question. It's a trick question. And they're trying to pin Jesus in this trick question. And so Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 and following, here's how the discussion goes. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him, Jesus, a question to test him. Teacher, Which commandment in the law is the greatest? Before I show you his answer, keep this in mind. In Jesus' day, in our day, there was lots of really good stuff that religious people were doing. Lots of really important stuff that churches were doing in Jesus' day. Lots of really good stuff that churches are doing in our day. And so this question is actually a pretty challenging question. Hey, Jesus, we're doing lots of really good stuff. What is the most important? What's the greatest thing that we're doing right now? What's the greatest thing? We're doing lots of good stuff. What's the greatest thing that we should be doing? Jesus doesn't hesitate. Doesn't take him 1 second to answer that question. Here's why we must grow deeper with Christ in 2017. Because his answer is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest, and this is the first commandment. By first, this is the first in order of importance. This is the first commandment. This commandment deserves all of your attention. Everything else is secondary to this right here. And if we do a lot of good things in 2017, but we don't do this thing, we just miss the greatest thing. We just miss the most important thing. At least that's what Jesus says. But you notice that religious leader asked Jesus one question and he was expecting one answer, and Jesus gives him a second answer. So our goal is not just to grow deeper with Christ. Our goal is to grow deeper with others, because that's what Jesus says we're supposed to be doing also. The other half of the conversation went like this. And the second, Jesus says, is like it. Look on the screens. Like it in order of importance. Like it in order of priority. If you miss this, it's as bad as missing the greatest commandment. And here's what this is. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all of the law and all of the prophets. You can do one and miss the other. And if you do one and miss the other, you've failed. But if you do both of these things, you've just accomplished everything that God asks of his people. You've just accomplished all that the law requires of you. You've just accomplished all that the prophets expected us to do. If you love God first and foremost and love your neighbors like yourselves. That's why we have to be a church that creates more disciples. The primary vehicle that we as a church use to create disciples is not my teaching on Sunday morning. It's life groups. It's not what we do in this hour that helps build disciples, though it does that. It's what we did in the last hour. That is the most important hour in our church. If I say this regularly around here, if you only had 1 hour to come on Sunday morning, don't come to this hour. Go to the last hour and grow deep in relationship to other people. That's where you develop relationships. That's where people hold you accountable. That's where folks are going to show up and minister to you in your time of need. That hour is much more important than this hour. It's not that this hour is important, but that hour is much more important. And the reason why we need more people involved in life groups is because roughly 50% of you are not plugged in at all to a life group on Sunday morning or any time, any place during the week, not in this church anywhere. And you're missing out. You're missing out on a ton of what makes Calvary, Calvary. This is what happens when discipleship gets really serious and a church really starts to make an impact in a community by making disciples. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in their city. At this time, we're speaking of Jerusalem. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And check this out. Even the priests, even the rabbis started to become followers of Jesus. And it wasn't the teaching of the pastor. It was watching people become disciples who were helping other people to become disciples. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The city stands up and takes notice when people grow real deep with Christ and real deep with each other. And others that are not in church stand up and to say, I want some of that too. How can I have what you've got? As a church, we continue to try to make an impact in our neighborhood. And therefore, we'll continue to try to make an impact through a ministry called Calvary Crusade. Let me give you a little bit of history in our church. Calvary Crusade was a ministry started by Dr. Byram Glaze. The goal of this ministry was to produce content that would introduce people to Jesus Christ, ideally here in our city and around the world. Millions, literally, more than a million gospel tracts were created by Calvary Crusade. Last year, we reorganized Calvary Crusade, and God willing, this year, we will start to create original content through Calvary Crusade that will go online, and it will go in print, and it will go all over our city, just trying to introduce people to King Jesus. And hopefully, it goes beyond the walls of our church and beyond the borders of our city. Hopefully, it goes all over our country, and it goes all over the world. And God willing, Calvary Crusade will become a vehicle by which people all over the planet become followers of King Jesus. And our goal isn't done as a church until we start to look more diverse, until we look as diverse as the neighborhoods that God has planted us in and as the city that we live in. One of my goals for us as a church this year is that we become more diverse in every aspect of our church, until in every aspect of our church we look like the Chattahoochee Valley looks. This is the picture that Scripture paints for us of what diversity looks like when it's accomplished and when the dust settles and when it's all done. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Our goal as a church is to see every nation, every ethnicity, every gender, every color of skin, every stage of life, people in every walk of life, become followers of Jesus Christ. And when we're standing with them in heaven, God is worshiped by people from all over the planet and all over our city and all over the neighborhoods around us. And God has planted us here in this neighborhood to make an impact in the community around us and in the Chattahoochee Valley. And one of our goals is that we don't stop until we look like our community looks. All right? How can you personally be involved in what the future looks like for Calvary Baptist Church? Well, here's a couple of ways. First, would you go out of your way this year to develop a friendship with somebody who doesn't look like you? Here's what I mean by this. Would you invite them to come over to your house? Would you start to get to know somebody who comes from a very different age and stage of life, very different color of skin, very different socioeconomic class? Would you invite them over to your house, and would you get to know them really deeply? And then after the relationship is developed, would you invite them to come to church? In fact, bring them to church and ask them to sit with you, and hopefully introduce them to Calvary Baptist Church, but more importantly, introduce them to Jesus Christ, because of the relationship that you've already started at the office or at your house. Would you consider hosting a life group? Do it at your home. Do it at your office. Look, this doesn't have to last for 6 years. It can last for 6 weeks. It can last for 6 months. If you're freaking out about this and what we're asking of you, let me just remind you, we have a packaged life group already done and waiting for you. It's right here on the inside of your worship guide. All you have to do is show up to church on Sunday and then take this thing with you to some neighbors or to your office or to folks at a coffee shop or at a restaurant, and get together and ask some questions that we've already prepared for you and have a discussion about what you're hearing in the Bible today. Anyone in this room can do that. And you can do it at school. You can do it at your office. You can do it in a coffee shop. You can do it at your house. Frankly, the Chattahoochee Valley needs more of us to open our doors and to invite them to come in and to get to know King Jesus. And you start by just living life with each other. That's what we mean by a life group. Now, if you're looking for a classroom to do it on Sunday morning, good luck with that, because basically we're out of classrooms and have been for a long time. That's why I'm saying do it at your home or do it at your office. Here's the last thing, and really this is something that all of us can be doing and should be doing. Every day in 2017, when you get up in the morning, before your feet hit the ground, will you ask the Lord, God, this year, today, would you give me the chance to live for your glory? Would you give me the chance to show somebody who's in need? Would you give me the chance to speak to somebody who needs to hear? Would you give me a chance to do something for someone that will put your glory on display so that they see what's inside of me and they decide I want some of that too? Frankly, when every believer in every church is living for the glory of God, the Great Commission won't take long before it's fulfilled. And this is something that all of us can and all of us should be doing. When we live for the glory of God, it impacts a city, it impacts a state, it impacts a country, it impacts the world. Living for the glory of God, this is what it looks like. It's the Great Commission spelled out in different language in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says to his church right before he leaves heaven and ascends, or leaves earth and ascends to heaven, Jesus says, but you, my church, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your hometown, and in Judea, your state, and in Samaria, your country, or North America, and to the ends of the earth. When you do this, you have to go to the ends of the earth to introduce somebody to Jesus, because there's not a whole lot of people that just haven't heard about him when every believer is getting up every day and living for the glory of God. Think about it this way. It's like a national championship football team. When every player straps on their pads and goes on the field and decides, I'm going to do my job today and I'm going to do it with all of my power and with all of my abilities, and I'm going to hold nothing back. When every player does that on every play, that team is destined for glory. A symphony orchestra, when every member picks up their instrument and says, I'm going to play this instrument with all that I've got from deep in the soul, and I'm going to give it everything that I've got, that symphony orchestra resounds with glory. And when God's people in this church and every church in the Chattahoochee Valley and all over the world get up every day with one singular focus, I will live today for the glory of God. I will make an impact today for King Jesus. God's glory resounds around the community and around the world.
The Great Commission is a command from Jesus to all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, which means all of us, through our praying, our giving, our going, together, we all have a part to play in seeing the gospel spread to the ends of the earth.
Well, within that first year of planting our church, before we were really ready to do an overseas trip, we knew we wanted to go. When a particular team goes, I mean, the whole church feels like we're all going. We're going with them. This is what we do as sent ones.
It's just a privilege to be able to be sent.
I think about all of the people who've invested in us. We stand on the shoulders of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've gone before us.
I have the privilege of really shepherding my children's hearts. We want them to not only hear about missions, we want them to understand it the way God wants us to. You share with those around you, you share with those in America, and then you share around the world.
We get up at 6 and we pray for the missionaries.
I don't think there's anything quite as powerful to me as someone coming up to me and say, I prayed for you, or I'm praying for you.
And you see all the hurt in the world, you see the needs, you see what you have, and you're able to help other people. We want to give, even though we're small, even when we don't want to, even when we feel like it's hard, we want to show the love of Christ and lavishly give grace and things that we can give as he's given it to us.
it's not, you know, all about what I can get out of it. It's about God's love for me and how that changes my heart to share that with everyone else that I meet. But so it's kind of changed the way that I do my business.
So I see these two groups at work. You've got a group of churches who are praying and giving and sending out missionaries, and a group of missionaries then who are spreading the gospel in some of the hardest, most difficult, dangerous to reach places and peoples in the world. And together, there's a unity there that is resounding to the glory of God.
Here's my challenge for all of us in 2017. Will you become a missionary for Jesus Christ this year? Maybe God will call a couple of you in this room to get up and to leave and to go overseas or to go around the country, but that's not what I'm asking you to do. Would every one of us in this church get up tomorrow and to decide, I'm going to be a missionary for King Jesus in my workplace. I'm going to be a missionary for Jesus at school. I'm going to be a missionary for Jesus in my neighborhood. I'm going to live for the glory of God, not just tomorrow, but every day in 2017. When God's people do that, it makes a tremendous impact on a community. So would you get up tomorrow morning and every day in 2017, a missionary for the glory of God? I'm going to pray for us. And this prayer is going to kind of close the sermon. And I want to challenge you to respond to what you've heard. Take a next step. Don't just hear from the Bible, but do something about what you've heard. So why don't you bow your heads and let me pray for us right now. Father, I lift up to you your people today, and I pray that they've been compelled by your Spirit to decide, I want to do something for King Jesus. I want to do something great for King Jesus. I can't do it on my own, and I certainly can't do it on my own power, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will be a missionary in my neighborhood. I'll be a missionary at school this year. I'll be a missionary at work this year. Maybe for a few of them in this room, you're calling them to get up and to leave Calvary and to be a missionary to another church or to another city or to another country. But God, would you call all of us in this room to say, I will live for the glory of King Jesus in 2017. God, maybe somebody's walked in the doors and they've stumbled into this service for the first time in their life, and maybe they've heard about Jesus before, but they've never really turned it all over to Him. Holy Spirit, would you work in their heart right now? Would you cause somebody who's sitting in the seats right now, just between them and you, to turn it all over to you in the form of a prayer? To simply say, God, I am a sinner and I don't deserve heaven. But today I see that you passionately pursued me. You sent your son Jesus to earth to live and to die to rescue me from my sins. And so right here, right now, God, I'm surrendering it all, which means I'll become a missionary for you, and I will go wherever you ask me to go. You call the shots in my life. From this point forward, I don't. And Holy Spirit, if that prayer is real, if it's sincere, then maybe you'd cause somebody to let us know by filling in that next step today. God, maybe you've encouraged some people by what they've heard and they've decided, I need to make this my church home. Would you give them the courage to let us know on those next step sheets so that we can follow up with them and tell them about the next membership class? Maybe there are some people in this room, Father, who have just been so busy, frankly, this year, they haven't had time to do anything. And their schedule has gotten out of control, and they really haven't been living for you, for themselves, or for anything else. They've been a slave to their schedule. Would you help this year to be the year that they get that schedule under control and start to resound for the glory of your son, Jesus? Father, I ask that you would cause every one of us in this room to decide, I will pray regularly for my church. I will partner with my church because I want nothing more than to see the kingdom of God grow in my city. And I want to see it grow through Calvary Baptist Church. Father, thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of your people. And I pray that you would cause them to respond by taking the next steps right now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.